This is Poetry Off the Shelf from the Poetry Foundation, December 5th, 2013. I'm Curtis Fox. This week, a short poem about an epic bout of depression. Poetry goes often into dark places, probably too often for most people's taste. But in general, poetry doesn't wallow in unrelieved human suffering. There is, however, at least one poem in the language that fully embraces its despair and offers little or no relief. It's one of Gerard Manley Hopkins's so-called terrible sonnets.
These poems are written at a time when he is severely depressed.
That's poet Mary Jo Bang, who read and talked about one of the terrible sonnets for the Poetry Foundation.
He's exiled. He's living in Ireland, and he's teaching at a boys' school where the boys ridicule him.
This was in 1885. Hopkins was a Jesuit priest, and some of his greatest poems celebrate the glory of God.
And yet, the degree of his pain has made him question his belief in God, and there is no greater anxiety and angst than having the very thing that you relied on seem to abandon you in this moment of great pain.
It's about despair.
Poet Adrian Sue also read the same Hopkins poem for another recording for the Poetry Foundation.
It's about feeling miserable. It's something that everyone can identify with at some point, but it says it in a way that no one else has ever said.
The Hopkins poem they're talking about doesn't have a title, but it's generally called by its first line, "No worst, there is none." Here again is Mary Jo Bang.
I'm in awe of Hopkins. I think it's very difficult to write poems that actually show the depth of suffering. And he did it, and he did it by creating a form and creating formal mechanisms that demonstrated that extravagance of feeling.
It's this wonderfully tight sonnet with incredibly dense lines. You just feel that not only has everything extraneous been taken out, but somehow everything's been concentrated. The imagery just leaps from one thing to another. It feels like you're in a movie that's moving at top speed from scene to scene. In the meantime, you've got these incredible sounds.
And part of that is this emphatic alliteration. You feel somehow that this is written by someone who's about to explode.
So let's hear the poem now, and then we'll hear more about it after the reading from both poets. Here's how Mary Jo Bang read it.
No worse, there is none. Pitched past pitch of grief, more pangs will, schooled at four pangs, wilder ring. Comforter, where's your comforting? Mary, mother of us, where is your relief? My cries heave, herds long, huddle in a mane, a chief woe, world sorrow. On an age-old anvil wince and sing, then lull, then leave off. Fury had shrieked, no lingering, let me be fell, force I must be brief. Oh, the mind, mind has mountains, cliffs of fall, frightful, sheer, no man fathomed. Hold them cheap, may, who ne'er hung there. Nor does long our small durance deal with that steep or deep. Here, creep, wretch, under a comfort serves in a whirlwind all. Life, death does end, and each day dies with sleep.
So there's the poem, which, as you heard, is very dense, very tightly packed. Since Adrian Sue also read the poem, let's just hear the beginning of her reading before we start looking more closely at it.
No worst, there is none. Pitched past pitch of grief, more pangs will, schooled at four pangs, wilder ring. Comforter, where is your comforting? Mary, mother of us, where is your relief? My cries heave, herds long, huddle in a mane.
The poet's cries, heave, herds long, huddle in a mane, as if his unspecified agonies are frightened livestock in need of a shepherd. I asked Adrian Sue about that odd metaphor.
Well, this is, I think, where it feels so cinematic, where you get this flash of this herd of animals, and you don't worry about what they are. You can see them. I think we can all see them, can we? And we don't get close enough to really care exactly what they are.
And then, very cinematically, the metaphor shifts into the realm of blacksmiths.
A chief woe, world sorrow, on an age-old anvil wince and sing, then lull, then leave off.
I asked Mary Jo Bang about that passage.
Well, on an age-old anvil, so age-old anvil, that anvil that is always there where metal strikes metal, and then it winces, kind of like when we wince, we pull back, and the metal makes the hammer wince off of it and pull back, and then it sings, it makes a noise, and that singing goes on for a while, then it lulls, then it leaves off. So this is a metaphor for the kind of sorrow that there's this age-old experience where something strikes, we hear it, finally it gets lessened, and then it leaves off.
Fury had shrieked, "No lingering, let me be fell. Force, I must be brief."
Well, I think there are two ways to look at fury. I think the furies, those things which torment us, the demons, but also the anger we feel. This idea of no lingering, let me be fell, let this be over, don't let me linger, and force, I must be brief. This idea that it has to be said quickly and that it has to be experienced quickly or else there is no going on. What he does next is fascinating to me because he goes from the world back inside and describes the state of interiority about the mind.
Oh, the mind. Mind has mountains, cliffs of fall, frightful, sheer, no man fathomed.
So these cliffs that are so sheer that to fall off there would be terrifying. And this hyphenated word, new word, no man fathomed. So in advance of the fact, there is no imagining and no fathoming how steep these cliffs are, how terrifying the fall from them would be. And of course, all of these cliffs are the mountains of the mind. Hold them cheap, May, who ne'er hung there. He does these kinds of inversion, grammatical inversion. What it really says is anyone who never hung there would hold them cheap or less than they are, and the cost of falling off of them would not be appreciated.
Nor does long our small durance deal with that steep or deep.
Our ability to endure things is so small that we can't stand something like that for very long. We can't stand a fall that is that steep or that deep. And then we have this glance at a Shakespearean drama, maybe King Lear, where the fool and Lear are out in the storm.
Here, creep, wretch, under a comfort, serves in a whirlwind.
So in this whirlwind, and now, of course, it's an emotional whirlwind, here's a comfort that will serve in that whirlwind, and here, creep under it, you poor wretch. And what that comfort is, it's this fact.
All life, death does end, and each day dies with sleep.
We don't have to endure this forever. Death will put an end to it. But before then, at least we have this small relief where each day we have a small death, which is the release of the pain in this little period of sleep.
Mary Jo Bang is the author of many books of poetry, and her latest book is a translation of Dante's Inferno. Adrienne Sue's latest book is Having None of It, and a poem of hers was included in the Best American Poetry 2013. You can read poems by both of them and by Gerard Manley Hopkins on the Poetry Foundation website. And you can subscribe to this podcast and the Poetry Magazine podcast in the iTunes Store, or you can stream them straight from our site, poetryfoundation.org. If you have any comments on this program, email us at podcast@poetryfoundation.org. The theme music for this program comes from the Claudia Quintet. For Poetry Off the Shelf, I'm Curtis Fox. Thanks for listening.